Welcome to On Strategy Showcase. I'm Fergus O'Carroll in Chicago. I am very excited for this weekend's activities. My oldest daughter is graduating from college, and I'm excited for two reasons. Number one, we're super proud of her. She's done a great job. She's the first. We have three daughters. She's our first child to be graduating from college. But we're also super excited because we no longer have to pay tuition, at least not until our next two daughters go through the same experience in a couple of years. Now, for you, you listeners that are outside of the U.S., you may not be familiar with the legal extortion that college tuition is in this country. It is unbelievable. The pressures it puts on families in terms of its cost, and nobody seems to be interested in doing anything about it. It is a racket, but it is important, was important for our family, for our kids to go through, and we're lucky enough to be able to do it. So many are not, but we are thrilled. My wife and I are thrilled that my daughter is graduating, and we're even equally thrilled that we no longer have to pay tuition for a little bit. So it's going to be fun. We're going to go up to the college, and the whole family's going, and we get graduation and the big the stadium full of parents who are celebrating and kids that are graduating. So young adults, I suppose, now. So we're really thrilled about that. That's happening this weekend. So for all of you other parents who have kids graduating around this time of the year, have a great weekend or whenever it happens for you. We're excited for you too. Anyway, speaking of this, if you are interested in partnering or sponsoring our show, which will in essence help pay for our kids' college in the future, you can download our sponsor kit on our homepage at onstrategyshowcase.com, or you can reach out to us directly at hello@onstrategyshowcase.com. That was a lot of onstrategyshowcase.coms for one sentence. Anyway, here's a clip from today's episode.
We had kind of swung the pendulum in two ways. We had, as I said previously, come out with MGM Resorts as the brand, right? All of our investment, all of our brand campaigns, everything was about MGM Resorts and how are you going to experience MGM Resorts. But I think the pendulum swung too far, and we realized that the emotional customer love that lives within our business is tied to Bellagio, is tied to Prime at Bellagio, is tied to, you know, Joel Robuchon at MGM Grand. It's not with MGM Resorts.
That's Sarah Moore, SVP Brand Marketing at MGM Resorts International. She's joined by George Felix, CMO of Chili's Bar and Grill. It's a national dine-in restaurant chain here in the U.S. It's been around for close to 50 years. Previously, George was CMO of Old Spice. He was also CMO at KFC for the rebirth of the Colonel, which was brilliant, and at Tinder before he joined Chili. So he's got a lot of great, great campaigns behind him, working with some phenomenal agencies. So this is a conversation about the ability of creativity to solve business problems. It's also about portfolio brand management. This is specifically about MGM Resorts International, which is a really interesting example of portfolio brand management, and also of the challenge of defining a consumer-facing role for your corporate brand. So really interesting conversations today. I'm joined for the intro to this episode by Connor Archbold, co-founder and CEO of our series sponsor, Tracksuit, the affordable brand tracking system for modern-day brands. Welcome, Connor.
Thanks, Fergus.
Does the modern marketing ecosystem require updated techniques for measuring and understanding brand health? Or is it simply that technology now allows you to offer it as a far more affordable solution?
Technology now allows us, companies like Tracksuit, to have rebuilt the kind of survey methodology from the ground up in a more affordable but also more approachable and convenient and much more fast way. And so technology is definitely there, but also we're entering this like fourth era of marketing. And era one is like Mad Men era, totally creative, long-term thinking. Era two, digital starting, you know, I think MailChimp is being founded, Salesforce is being founded. Era three is, you know, the likes of Klaviyo and Segment are being founded. It's full tracking of bottom of funnel, ROAS, CAC, click-through rates, and obsession with being able, you know, with attribution. And then era four is actually the best of all of those worlds. So you are going back to creativity, back to full funnel marketing, except you need and require full funnel measurement. And we're delivering that, you know, in an always on dashboard that people are able to log into. They're able to invite their board or C-suite or agencies in. So everyone's singing from the same song sheet. They're able to communicate with the same data, and they're able to see whether what they're doing is working to move metrics like, you know, awareness, consideration, preference, and, you know, what people think and feel about your brand on the sentiment side.
Thanks, Connor. Learn more about Tracksuit at gotracksuit.com. It's the affordable brand tracking solution for modern day brands. So here's episode number two of our brand leadership series with Sarah Moore of MGM and George Felix of Chili's. Enjoy. So it's great to have this duo as part of this market leadership or marketing leadership series. I'm very excited to have them both. And I wanted to start off with you first, Sarah, to talk about the brand. And as I know it, it's MGM Resorts International. I think it's important, and I didn't realize this when we first talked, the scope of the portfolios that MGM Resorts International owns. If I look just at the Vegas Strip, it feels like you own almost everything that I'm aware of. Tell us about the scope of the portfolio.
At MGM Resorts, we actually own and operate over 32 different resort brands. And so very often we hear this, that, you know, the general consumer doesn't realize that when you go to Vegas, we own most of the Strip. So we have, you know, MGM Grand, our namesake, but we also own Bellagio and Aria and New York, New York, and Excalibur and Mandalay Bay and Luxor and Signature. We operate multiple properties throughout the United States, and we also have properties in China. We were awarded a license in Japan, so we'll be opening a full integrated resort in Japan. And we have other projects around the world happening as well.
And you guys also own the Cosmopolitan, which I've got to say has done some of the best advertising, at least in my opinion. When they launched that campaign, I don't know, was it Fallon or somebody in Minneapolis did that work?
It was Fallon, just the right amount of wrong. And it was one of the, you know, driving forces behind us acquiring that resort. It's because that brand is just, it's brilliant. And the way they've been able to retain kind of the core fundamentals of that brand, it's a brand marketer's dream.
Oh, absolutely. It's just the one, as you said, it's just the right amount of wrong. Oh, perfect. Perfect. Tell me how the portfolio is structured, meaning is there, you've got dedicated brand managers that are working on these individual properties. And then what's the role of your team?
So our team is the corporate marketing team. And so we oversee most of the marketing functions, which are centralized. And so we have our brand strategy and development team. We have our creative and content, paid media, social media. But then each one of these resorts has their own on the ground media or marketing team as well. So that marketing team is really, they're the owners of the experience. They are the voice of the customer and the voice of the brand. And we work really closely with them to essentially drive their business and support their individual goals, but ensuring also that it goes two ways. It's laddering up to what we're trying to do with the master brand.
And so, George, for you, people should realize coming into this conversation that you're behind some of the most masterful brand campaigns of the last decade or so. As I understand it, you were behind the Old Spice work with Wieden and Kennedy. You were behind the relaunch of the Colonel. It's quite a pedigree. Tell us about what you're working on now.
Thanks, Burgess. I appreciate it. It's awesome to be on. So thank you for having me. And It was great to work on those brands. You know, I'll say I was lucky to work with really amazing teams and great agencies. So it was a ton of fun. And I'm now the CMO at Chili's Grill and Bar. And I've been there. It'll be 2 years here in July. And it's been great. It's been, you know, in a lot of ways similar to some of the brands I've worked on in the past, like an Old Spice and a KFC, in that it's a brand that just has like great bones, and I really enjoy that. I think it's a fun challenge. And, you know, Chili's is a brand that I'd say like the majority of people, and like since I've taken this job, almost every single person I've told that I work at Chili's, like it's kind of a smile kind of pops on their face, and they have a fond memory or a fond, you know, recollection of times that they spent in Chili's, either with friends or family. And so for me and our marketing team, our job is to make sure those aren't just memories, and to invite them back into Chili's and you know, remind them why they love the brand. And so we're having a lot of fun just kind of getting Chili's back out in the culture.
So how would you define Chili's compared to KFC? It's not a QSR, is it?
No, they call our segment of the industry casual dining. So obviously, you know, you're coming in, if you're coming into Chili's, you know, you're going to have a sit down meal, full service, with servers. And then obviously we also have to go, which is, you know, about 30% of our business. So you can get it either way, but you know, we're really, you know, we're a grill and bar. So you've got the bar side of things as well. And so for us, you know, even more so than I'd say in the QSR industry or the fast casual industry, we are really more about the experience. And we think that can be a point of difference for us, is, you know, we really want to make people feel special. And you know, if you choose to go spend the night out with your family at Chili's, we want that to be a great experience for your kids or for you, and a time to relax and get taken care of and let our team, you know, treat you to a special night.
So I've got to think, for you, given your background, you're obviously a believer in creativity's ability and the critical nature of creativity to create true distinctiveness, because you're not a person who likes to tweak things or slightly evolve things. I mean, you like to flip them completely. Is that what we can expect from Chili's, or will Chili's be a different application of creativity?
I definitely do believe in creativity to solve business challenges. And I think, you know, one of the things that is similar across the brands I've worked on is when you have a brand that has a great heritage, the nice part about that is, you know, you can dig. We call it like digging into the attic, you know, kind of learning about the DNA of the brand. And you have these great things you can draw on. And then I think the magic comes with, you know, that's where working with great, you know, strategic and creative partners is how do you take those things that are so iconic and woven into the DNA of your brand and make them relevant in today's world? And I think that's where you can find a lot of really rich creative territory. And that's, you know, that's where we want to be playing is, you know, of course we want to explore new spaces for our brand, but we want to draw on the things. We'd be kind of foolish to leave some of those things that are so ingrained in people's memories of this brand. We just have to find a way to make them relevant in, you know, 2024.
Yeah, that's very true, because we had Britton Taylor on the show talking about the KFC work, and he talked about the fact that the agency spent a lot of time in the sort of the archives, and a lot of observations and unlocks came out of time spent on the origin story of the brand. And probably similar with Old Spice, it was like refreshing, making things relevant for a new age or for this age.
Yeah, you're spot on. Britton is not only a great friend of mine, but he's one of the best strategists in the business. And so he was the strategist behind both of those, Old Spice and KFC. And you know, I think it's one of those situations where he probably doesn't get enough credit for the longevity and the success of both of those brand turnarounds, because it was his brand positioning work and strategic work that was so sharp, and it's lasted, you know, now for years and years and years. And so he was also we brought him on here at Chili's as well and when we needed to define our brand and do that same exercise. So he's a real master at that, and I learned a lot from him in terms of how to really unearth, you know, those really distinctive elements of your brand and then put a modern spin on them.
So Sarah, when you look at your category, what are the sort of key marketing challenges that you face today? And then, and also, what's the role of the consumer brand in the, in, I beg your pardon, the role of the corporate brand in the consumer experience with MGM?
A little different than kind of the examples you and George were just talking through is we don't really dig into the archives. We don't really kind of dig into the attic in terms of our heritage that lies within our brand, because our brand is only as good as the live experiences that we're putting out. And so when you think about the way entertainment and, you know, live experiences have been innovating, we have to stay ahead of that at all times. And so I would say that's definitely one of our biggest challenges that we're attacking now and into the future, is around just the digitization of our industry, as well as the innovation around our industry. There hasn't been much innovation in certain segments of our business, if you think about casino gaming specifically. So how are we really adopting what's happening out in the digital gaming world and bringing that to the live experience? And over the past couple of years and into the future, as we've looked at that, we've actually restructured, on your second point, how we look at our corporate master brand. We brought MGM Resorts into the world as the brand everyone knows today around 2017. But realized very quickly that it was still really difficult, based on the scope and scale of our portfolio, to kind of create tangible benefit for our customers with that brand. And so we actually flipped our brand architecture, and we really went loyalty forward in 2022. And so when we think about the role of kind of our hierarchy, the main kind of connective brand really is our rewards brand, because there are so many different ways. There's so many different entry points to everything that we offer. That's really the through line of how you can get the most out of our portfolio, is through our rewards program.
And, you know, when we talked last time, I shared about, and I've shared this a couple of times on the show, when I worked on Ford Motor Company, we had this portfolio of brands that we had to deal with. We had Volvo, we had Aston Martin, we had Land Rover, we had Ford, we had Lincoln, we had Mercury, we had Jaguar. All of these disparate brands were part of the Ford Motor Company portfolio. And one of the assignments I was on is trying to create a rationale for why all these existed, and then what was that corporate value that was brought to the table. And it was tough when you have a portfolio where there's brands that are on one extreme of luxury and one that are more mass market. It's a tough thing to find the place for your brand, your corporate brand, to play, right?
And we suffer from the kind of same challenges, right? We run the entire spectrum. And so I love when people ask me, like, who's your core customer? Our core customer is every single customer.
Yeah.
Bellagio all the way to Excalibur, but we have an offering for quite literally everyone. And so we're pretty prescriptive about the hierarchy, the caste system, quite frankly, of those brands, knowing that some of our brands are significant halo brands, such as Bellagio, such as Luxor, and they bring people into the portfolio, but not every brand is kind of attacked at the same level in terms of marketing support and resourcing. Some brands, you know, get full suite of investment, while other brands are really those emotional connective brands. And so it's difficult. It's something we stay on top of all the time. It changes all the time as the customer changes. The hospitality kind of lifestyle travelers changing every single year. And so it's a major challenge for the scope and scale of our business.
So I assume that you explored, from a corporate level, you explored ways that the corporate brand might exist in terms of a consumer-facing proposition. You've landed on the loyalty piece. But were there other things that you could share that you may have considered but didn't actually end up following?
Well, we absolutely did a full exploration. And the truth is, we still are, even with loyalty, because if you even break down loyalty, there's different ways loyalty shows up in the world. Is it, you know, that full encompassing brand like a Marriott Bonvoy, or is it more of that transactional brand like a Delta, or, you know, the gamification loyalty brand like a Starbucks? And so when we were evaluating essentially to evolve our loyalty program to be our consumer master brand, we looked at the corporate brand, and and again, and still are, hint, hint, mischief, as to the role that it plays. And we had kind of swung the pendulum in two ways. We had, as I said previously, come out with MGM Resorts as the brand, right? All of our investment, all of our brand campaigns, everything was about MGM Resorts and how are you going to experience MGM Resorts. But I think the pendulum swung too far, and we realized that the emotional customer love that lives within our business is tied to Bellagio, is tied to Prime at Bellagio, is tied to, you know, Joel Robuchon at MGM Grand. It's not with MGM Resorts. And so then simultaneously, the category was exploding because of sports betting, because of sports, the introduction of sports in general. And so we were realizing that we were asking MGM Resorts as a master brand to carry too much weight. And so that's ultimately where we went loyalty led. But again, did the pendulum swing too far that way? You know, there's always opportunities where MGM Resorts and MGM Rewards kind of coexist in different ways. And so I think it's something that we're still always exploring and seeing, but it's also, you know, a lot of it's based on what the customer and how the customer is engaging with us.
And so BetMGM, which is that campaign with Jamie Foxx, is that portfolio wide or is that just for the property?
So BetMGM is a completely separate entity. And so that's just for our sports betting business. BetMGM is our online gaming and sports betting business. And so the ad with Jamie Foxx walking through the Bellagio fountains, that's just specifically to our online gaming business.
So George, for you, tell us about the key marketing challenges that your category faces today, and particularly for Chili's.
I think in the restaurant industry, it's just harder than ever, right? Because there's more options than ever. And so, you know, whether it's casual dining, fast casual, QSR, even, you know, delivery, third-party delivery. So, you know, even just beyond like your typical pizza, but now you can get, you know, really anything delivered. And it's so easy with, you know, just kind of the click of a few buttons. So I think with the proliferation of options and how easy it's become, how do you get into that? I think of it as like a carousel of options that people have when they're thinking about, hey, I want to go out for, you know, a great meal or pick up a great meal. How do you get the mind space to be in that rotation so that you can capture as many trips as possible? And so I think that's the constant struggle or the challenge that faces us from a restaurant standpoint. And at Chili's, we're a brand that, you know, people know, but we might not have been as top of mind as we needed to be in recent memory. And so that's the biggest challenge we're trying to overcome.
We'll be right back. This series is brought to you by Tracksuit, a beautiful, affordable, and always-on brand tracking tool that helps you answer the question, is what we're doing working? A not-so-secret fact is that companies pay $100,000 or more for brand tracking, which is out of the question for modern brands whose budgets are under pressure. Tracksuit has been built by marketers for marketers and makes brand tracking 10 times easier and 10 times more affordable. Their research experts do the heavy lifting by using best-in-class practices to craft the questions and get your survey live. Tracksuit surveys thousands of people each week from panels of millions around the world to give you full visibility of your brand health in 30 days with insights updated for your brand daily. Tracksuit is fast becoming the common language for marketers and agencies to measure, understand, and communicate the value of brand building. Check them out at gotracksuit.com. That's gotracksuit.com. Now back to the show. So Chili's, in my mind, like a TGI Fridays, it suffers from the same problem that Old Spice did and Kentucky Fried Chicken did, which is that they were brands associated with your older brother or your father. They've been in market for a long period of time. But what you beautifully did is you made them aspirational for young people. And I assume that's got to be the same challenge, because this is a brand that's been, Chili's is a brand that's been around for decades. It was probably one of the first, is it fair to say that it was one of those first sort of casual dining brands? And it has been sort of feels like it's been dormant for an awful long time.
That's right. It really was, one of the brands that really created this category, because before Chili's, it was weird. There was like fine dining, like very high end dining. And then there was fast food, but really nothing in the middle. And Chili's really filled that gap. And then obviously there have been many to follow. And so next year will be 50 years since Chili's started. And so it's a great observation, Fergus. And I think, if you think about a lot of the people that grew up going to Chili's, now they are parents, and they have young families, and we need them to kind of, we need to invite them back in and kind of introduce Chili's to their kids and create those same great experiences that they had. And we definitely do need to appeal to a younger audience and kind of reintroduce the brand, or in some cases introduce the brand for the first time to them. And so we have to think a little bit differently about how we communicate, where we communicate, and take some different types of swings than maybe the brand has in the past. And you mentioned that the brand has felt like it's been dormant. Before I got here, just about 2 years ago, Chili's had really been off national advertising for 3+ years. Just kind of decisions that were made over time, and then COVID. By the brand at that point. And so that was a big part of, when I came in, and our CEO, Kevin Hochman, when he came in, we really kind of very quickly came to the realization we had to get Chili's back out there. For a brand our size, we need to be back out front and center to remind people, that Chili's is there and all of the great offerings that we have.
Yeah. I mean, there's been so much great work in QSR. I mean, I look at what happened with Popeyes. I look at what happened with KFC. I look at what's happening with McDonald's, and there's a lot of life being, injected into that category in ways that it has never been. And I think when we look at KFC and we look at what McDonald's has been doing now, they're certainly becoming these amazing beacons for a reliance on creative strategy at the heart of these things, because particularly with McDonald's, I think they're in maybe year 5 now of what started out as Famous Orders. It's turned around that business by just making it look at things a little bit differently.
Yeah, it's incredible. I would say working as a marketer in the restaurant industry is a ton of fun. It's very competitive. I think really some of the best marketing, in the world is happening in the restaurant industry, and you're spot on the work McDonald's has done. I think any marketer in the restaurant industry or outside would hold that up as best in class. And there's a lot that we can all learn from that in terms of the way they really went deep on their own customer truths and, really understood the things that were so like true about their brand, and then brought them to life in incredibly creative ways.
It's interesting for the listener to note that both of you work with Mischief as your agency partner, and both of you are on this sort, within the next couple of months, are going to be launching new initiatives with Mischief. This is not a commercial for Mischief, by the way. Mischief is not sponsored this episode. This is just coincidence. But I think, Sarah, when I look at this idea of where growth comes from, you're actually working with Mischief to sort of frame this new loyalty program. And I'm sure that label is a terrible label, but how are you sort of approaching that process?
It's really interesting because our first big work with Mischief is strategy work. The creative will come later, which most, that's the opposite of why most companies go after Mischief. But their strategy and what they do behind the scenes is just absolutely brilliant. For us, we're just essentially looking at our architecture and understanding, like, are we doing this right? Are we the role that loyalty is playing versus the master brand versus all of these unbelievably premier, high equity brands like Bellagio, like Aria, like MGM Grand? Like, how are we showing up to the world? And is the secret sauce right? And so that's essentially where we're starting with them. And then in terms of growth, it's okay, we know that some of these brands we're going to age out our customers. So how are we taking all of that and then putting it through the filter of that younger lifestyle traveler, which is coming up quickly, which has much more discretionary income? How are we poised for that? Because there are elements of our brand experience across the board that, that skew older, drive an older customer. And so are we prepared for the next generation of luxury travelers?
So when you look at your portfolio, is corporate involved in an advisory way, in a partnership way with those individual hotel brands where there is an understanding that Bellagio one property needs to stay in their own lane and not sort of bleed into a different lane because that's Bellagio's lane, et cetera. There could be some territorial pissing that goes on with any sort of a portfolio. Are you as a corporate brand playing a role, advisory or strategic role, in helping them understand how to evolve their propositions and evolve their brands? Or is it a hands-off position?
No, we're driving it at the corporate level. And so to that point, up until, quite honestly, probably pre-COVID, so within the last 5 years, it was a bit of the wild, wild west in different ways. It was, there was cannibalization of, airtime, of creative space, of customers. We took the pandemic as an opportunity to rethink our entire kind of segmentation and ensuring that each one of our brands is not competing with each other, is occupying the right space, and is going after the right customer. And honestly, not putting all that work on the customer to try to navigate that and figure it out. And so we kind of, the corporate leaders, put that whole process into play and worked with our properties to ensure that, one, they were delivering on that, right? If Bellagio versus Aria, which is probably one of the most challenging, very different types of luxury, slight nuances in the customer profile. Are they living up to that? And how are we helping them? We oversee most of the marketing, so the outright marketing strategy, but work very closely with them to ensure that they're delivering and they're creating those touches on property that ultimately ladder up to that space.
Yeah, I wish I could spend like an hour just talking about that. I mean, I would love, maybe we'll do it at a different session.
Yeah, let's do it another time.
Oh my God. I would love to hear how these properties are described as being distinct. The language of that is just phenomenal for me. I totally get into that sort of stuff. George, for you, there's a lot of challenges we talk about in this day of reaching a broad enough base of consumers, is particularly when you're sort of a mass market type brand. How do you get to a place where you feel you're spending your budget right, that you're getting enough reach?
Yeah, it certainly is a challenge. And I was in a pretty unique situation here at Chili's. As I mentioned before, coming in, we were not advertising. Like, we weren't really spending nationally. And so that is like a new situation for me. Every other brand I'd been on, we'd already been an established advertiser, and you're always kind of rolling over something from the previous year. So that was a new one for me in terms of, we had to, the very first thing we had to do was just start to change the way we invested and reallocate funds from other priorities or other investment areas back into advertising and national media again, and then slowly stair-step our way up and prove that out and show that could be a traffic driver and a sales driver for our brand. And so, for us, it was kind of fun to be able to just flip the switch from off to on and, kind of say, hey, marketing does work, in a very clear way. But where we're at now, we're kind of still on that journey. We're kind of 12 months into that journey now. And I think we've established, ourselves back on as a national advertiser, certainly not always on. We have to pick our spots throughout the year. And so for us, we have to try and be strategic about how do we get that mass reach. As Sarah was talking earlier, at its broadest sense, we're really appealing to anyone that eats. So that's just about everyone. Obviously, we have more defined targets that are kind of our creative targets. But the work we're doing and my team's doing from a media standpoint is trying to balance, the mass reach and getting Chili's back out there, and the channel mix that can most efficiently do that on a brand that's just building back up its media budgets.
You know, it's interesting. Maybe I'm an anomaly, but I didn't know that Bellagio, Aria, the Cosmopolitan were part of this MGM Resorts portfolio. So when you go to market, how will you make that definition obvious, or will you not? That association that MGM Resorts is this portfolio, how do you make that association overt enough for people to remember it?
Yeah, honestly, so to unpack many of the things you just said, it's a conundrum we talk about all day, every day. And, you know, add in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer as,
yeah,
as
exactly,
just
a
level of complexity with our naming. It's really about how are we, and we do this now. So if you go back even over this year and all of the content we've put out around, again, most recently Super Bowl and F1 and, you know, our MGM Rewards campaigns, it is a collection of all of the experiences across all of our properties, many of which are recognizable, the Bellagio fountains, things of the lion in front of MGM Grand. And so we try to curate assets that essentially show the breadth of the portfolio, but it's also very like down into the minutiae. All of our advertisements have very specific lockups, and we have a system of kind of bringing all of the brands together and tying them back to MGM Rewards. But the truth is, we are a company of M&A. We came together by many different means, and we will, unless we have this conversation in the boardroom, quite honestly, often, unless we go and put an MGM in front of every one of our resorts, MGM Bellagio, MGM Aria, MGM Beau Rivage, we're never going to make it, you know, perfect. We're never going to be able to create that attribution perfectly back up to the mothership. But it's something that we're constantly, you know, not resting on our laurels and trying to tell the story in a really succinct way for the customer. But it's not easy.
Yeah, it's not easy. I don't think anybody's really cracked it. I mean, Marriott tried a lot. It was like, I think the basis of David Akers' books was like trying to, how do you manage these brands? And it was, are you an endorser brand? Are you a driver brand? But it's complicated. I don't think it's easily addressed, and it's certainly not addressed in the short term. So Sarah, for you, you've got to also have taste. I mean, clearly you do. The question is, where did that taste come from? Because taste is important when you select an agency, because picking an emerging creative shop is, for somebody who's risk averse, that's a choice they don't want to make. So why did you make that choice? Because you could have had anybody working on the brand.
We did incredible work with McCann for 8 years. We had an incredible relationship with them. But I think for us, it was their approach and how they work. Our business changes, not often, more often than often. I'm very thankful that I work in an industry that every day, quite literally, something new is happening. The year we put F1 on, we didn't know F1 was happening when we entered that year in January. That's the type of change that we're often seeing. And so our ability to partner with agencies and groups that embrace that and are willing to go along on that ride with us is critical. And we did a kind of a pilot project with Mischief early on, kind of last year covertly. And we just knew immediately that the vibe was there. They understood our business. They were excited to jump in and change with us and be agile. And they're just good people. And you know, my philosophy is like, I just want to do stuff with good people. And that was clear after our initial engagement with them. And so for us, I'm not risk averse at all. I constantly seek change, and I constantly seek, you know, opportunities to reinvent. And so this was a great way to do that with really good people who just happen to also do absolutely brilliant work.
So one last topic I wanted to touch on, and it's because I've been sort of frustrated about this in American marketing, but I will say that the more I talk about it with senior marketers, the more comfortable I'm getting with the state of the perspective of U.S. marketers on marketing effectiveness. In your background, George, what is the sort of aspect of effectiveness that you have confidence in, and are there aspects that you don't have as much confidence in right now?
The marketing effectiveness piece, and you know, particularly when I was at, and one of my assignments was working on the KFC global business, and in that role was really where I got exposed to a lot of things you reference. The Bennett Field and the Ehrenberg Bass. We actually worked directly with Ehrenberg Bass on a lot of things, and so it was great. It was an awesome learning experience for me, and just to codify some of that, and I think you're right. More and more, it's becoming more prevalent, and you're right. Sometimes it's directly referenced from those groups, and other times it's more in slightly different way, but really a similar application. I think for me, when I look at some of the principles that they drove that I think are very relevant to what we're trying to do at Chili's right now, the ones that jump to mind for me are just the principles, the importance of mental and physical availability. It's kind of a fundamental concept, but for a brand like Chili's, we've got the physical availability. We have almost 1,200 locations across the country. But if you don't have that mental availability, that top of mind awareness, and you're not invested in continuing to build that and reinforce it, you can see what happens, for us, after several years of letting that drop, we're now having to claw that back, and it's going to take some time for us to get there. And so I think that, those measures are very important for us right now in the stage that we're at. And we want to continue to build on that. And, I think distinctive assets, and Jennifer Romaniak from the Ehrenberg Bass Institute has a whole book on distinctive assets. And I'm a big believer in that. And so those are things that early on here, we wanted to really understand what we did have and how distinctive were the assets. Were they distinctive in our minds, or were they really truly distinctive to our guests and consumers, and really understand that. And then, determine how we can really push those. I think some of the other, when I think of effectiveness, I'll just say one of the things I'm not a big believer in is ad testing. I've never really been a believer.
You and me both. Yeah, this thing blew up.
He makes three.
So there's three of us, right?
Good. Right, we're all friends here.
It's probably why we both went to Mischief, George.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I just again, if I go back to. And some of this is just personal history, but I don't have a ton of confidence that it's actually, truly predictive of success. And I think there are some things in creativity that are almost impossible to measure. And and so that's just one that for me, I've never been a big believer in. I think it's important to understand how things perform and measure those. But I think ad testing is one that I'm just not a believer in.
Sarah, how about for you in terms of the way you sort of look at the broader context, what you like and don't like?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think, how it's all executed today is just so fundamentally flawed. And what I do like, though, and what I am seeing finally, this is not a new concept, is just the focus on applied behavioral analysis to really understand consumers. And it's becoming more mainstream, and more agencies are kind of popping up. And I do think there are ways, diving into
now. What is that applied behavioral analysis?
So it's essentially, if you think about kind of testing in general, any kind of brand testing, not just ad testing in general right now, it's really only looking at that 5% above the water of any intuition we have as consumers to change our behaviors. 95% of what we do is subconscious. It's below the surface. And so most of testing as we see it today is only designed to, hit that 5%. That's why it's flawed. That's why we have an internal philosophy at MGM that any data we go seeking is only findings, not learnings. But more and more agencies are popping up that are focusing on different proprietary means to with psychologists to really dig into that 95%. And that's really applied behavioral analysis. And so we have a new kind of challenge ahead of us coming up that we're going to dive into this year with Mischief. And it's really about a very specific consumer segment and what drives them, what are their detractors, and how do we achieve it in a really, really messy, loud category. And so we'll undergo some of that work to just really get to the bottom in the subconscious of what is making these consumers do what they do and go where they go. But other than that, like we live at the nexus of art and science. And so we have our data, we have our research for very specific reasons. But again, it's only findings, not learnings.
I suppose it's so critical when you're designing these, I mean, because you are designing entertainment experiences, you've really got to have a strong understanding of how you sort of get attention and hold attention throughout an experience, right?
That's exactly right. And think about, you know, we also talk about like our competitive circle, our competitive set is not Wynn or Caesars or even Hilton or Marriott. It's anything that essentially takes your discretionary time and income. And so whether, especially if you think about our regional markets, our local properties, it's a matter of, are you going to stay home and have dinner and watch Netflix, or are you going to come to our property? And so we don't take that lightly. And so understanding the offerings that we have specifically around entertainment and live entertainment and how they're innovating against, you know, again, a very, very noisy category. We do a lot of research on that front.
It is Sarah Moore, Senior Vice President, Brand Marketing for MGM Resorts International in Las Vegas, and George Felix, Chief Marketing Officer for Chili's Grill and Bar, based in Dallas, Texas. Thank you both. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're more than welcome, and we will see everyone on the next episode.